This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
So it is common, and seems like we're seeing more of it. If you talk to some endovascular enthusiasts, you'd think it was as high as 80 to 90%, but most of the literature would say somewhere between 20 to 40% in the PREVENT 3 data set, 20% of the patients did not have adequate saphenous vein. Why is that? Most of them, the vein was stolen for prior bypass, prior CABG, or was stripped. The PREVENT 3 was sort of invaluable in kind of crystallizing what we already knew from smaller studies, but really shone a bright light on the absolute importance of the vein. So this particular graph looks at the size of the vein. Upper line is vein grafts that were greater than 3.5 millimeters in diameter. The next line is 3 to 3.5. And clearly, you see a fall off in outcome with veins less than 3 millimeters. Similar with conduit type. So single segment saphenous vein, clearly the best top line here. Composite vein is the middle line, and lesser saphenous or arm vein is the lower line. So what the trial did was combine basically all single segment saphenous veins of greater than 3 millimeters in a so-called low-risk group and all other conduits in a high risk, and in stark contrast in terms of the outcomes. So general strategies for situations in which you don't have a good conduit. This is what I was taught, what we teach our fellows today. Perform the best, most durable procedure possible. And for a long time, that was use the best available autogenous vein. I'll show you some data in the further on that calls into question this kind of long-held tenet. As we talked about yesterday a little bit, these are challenging patients, certainly the redo population. Intimal hyperplasia, sclerotic veins, hypercoagulable states, the tissue beds are scarred and difficult to operate on. We looked at our data recently, looking over a series of decades. Our results are the same, but what came through loud and clear was that we're operating on a sicker group of patients, more complicated group of patients. I suspect you're all doing the same. What are the options? Well, contralateral saphenous vein, arm vein, lesser saphenous vein, cryopreserved vein, prosthetic grafts, and certainly when we need to, creative endovascular or hybrid options. Quick word on contralateral saphenous vein. Sometimes it comes up, should you steal that vein? Is it safe to do so? Our group looked at this several years ago, the fate of the contralateral limb over a number of years, and at the five-year point, only 16% needed an intervention in the contralateral leg, 12% needed a bypass, and 4% needed an amputation. So the end result is safe to use the contralateral vein. Obviously, clinical judgment is imperative if they have some impending need. So in terms of arm vein, we have three options, the cephalic vein, the basilic vein, the brachial vein. I think most would agree that a single segment of good cephalic vein is probably the optimal situation. Relatively easy to harvest. The wound complication rate is quite low, and it works quite well. What are the disadvantages? Certainly, there can be scarring, focal phobitis from needle sticks, sclerosis, and sometimes you're left with a whole series of short vein segments that you have to either discard or piece together. The basilic and brachial can certainly be tedious to dissect. Lots of side branches, and these veins are certainly prone to twisting and require care. Lesser saphenous vein, I guess the advantage would be the same operative field, and it can be a very good vein in the right patient. Disadvantage is it's relatively tedious exposure. The quality can be unreliable, and as with arm vein, you can often be left with short vein segments that you have to decide whether to use or not. Most of us would probably tackle the short saphenous from a prone posterior approach. I had one mentor that was quite fond of harvesting the short saphenous from a medial approach. Actually works, perhaps a slightly higher wound rate. Also looked at composite vein grafts. David Chu's done a lot of work, a series of papers in this area. In one, they looked at 154 patients. Almost all were for limb salvage, and 50% were for the redo situation, and he looked at the number of segments, and three quarters were two segments, and one quarter were three or more segments. In terms of the outcomes, a very respectable 65% five-year secondary patency rate. So this is clearly a good option in certain patients. And of interest, he looked at outcomes with less than two and greater than two segments, and there was no drop-off in patency rates with increased number of segments. What about cryopreserve? So this is one paper from Dr. Farber and the crew when he was at Cedars-Sinai, 240 grafts, and consistent with a wide body of additional literature, patency rates are pretty abysmal. So this is two-year rates, primary patency, primary assisted, and secondary, all hovering around 20%. They did use Coumadin in most patients. It did not seem to make much difference. There were some papers with regard to cryopreserve use that use cyclosporine or some immunosuppressant, and they definitely have better results. So one possibility if one decides to use a cryopreserve graft. What about prosthetic? Certainly an option. Everyone's probably familiar with this historic data from Frank Veith back in the 1980s, just abysmal long-term results with EPTFE, mostly below the knee. Lots and lots of studies to show it's an inferior option compared to most vein grafts. We do use it. I prefer the DistaFlow. It's a barred graft. It has a kind of a sculpted distal anastomotic hood. The company will tell you it has an advantage from a hemodynamic standpoint. I find it handles well. I typically use a Gore-Tex suture. Hemostasis is rarely an issue, and all of my grafts look like this when I'm done in terms of the distal anastomosis. All of my partners use Propatin instead. The results are better, certainly than the historic data I showed earlier. This is one retrospective series of seven centers in Italy with over 400 grafts, three-year results, again, pretty respectable, 70% secondary patency, and of interest, no difference between above-knee and below-knee results. Typically, they will use a patch, lots of different options in terms of patching. The most common utilized at our institution would be the Linton patch, typically a little piece of vein in which the prosthetic is sewed onto. A number of additional cuffs, all of which in the literature show some benefit. I don't think there's any one front runner, all of which are aimed at modifying the hemodynamics and the shear stress at the distal anastomosis. This is St. Mary's boot, and this is a sequence of technical steps to show how this is fashioned. Must say I've not ever fashioned one of these, but certainly an option for those who prefer it. It's a Taylor patch. It had a little run of popularity as well. And AV fistulas is yet another option that someone can use in a disadvantaged conduit circumstance. The data would certainly support some benefit, not overwhelming benefit, but been lots written on this, and you can see here six different options, and there's another six that I'm not showing you, but essentially any different or any number of technical constructions you can make of the vein that allow for a fistula, either upstream, downstream, or right on the actual graft. So what about the challenge of deciding between a prosthetic conduit or an arm vein or some autogenous composite or short saphenous vein? So James McPhee was a fellow of ours 3 years ago, published this report in JVS, and basically looked at a series of bypasses to the popliteal or the tibial peroneal trunk. So not tibial and not above knee, but very specifically to that below knee target, and compared prosthetic with a patch to some combination of non-single segment saphenous vein option. And what I've shown here are primary patency, primary assisted patency, and secondary patency, all remarkably similar. This is a secondary patency graft. Again, five-year, 69% secondary patency, pretty respectable. Most of the prosthetic grafts did have a some sort of distal patch, and most patients were put on Coumadin afterwards. But perhaps a change in the sort of long-held tenet that prosthetic is inferior, perhaps we're at an area now where prosthetics have come to the point of somewhat analogous results. So in summary, continue to do the best operation procedure you can. Use the best vein available. Prosthetic is certainly a reasonable option and is, I think most would agree, is better than bad vein. And more creative use of hybrid options in this situation. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.